Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you watching this at home. It is a rainy day out there, but thanks be to God that we are able to be here together where it's nice and dry, and we get to hear about all that our Lord has done for us. We are now officially at the midway point in Lent. We are the third Sunday in Lent, and so we just are a few weeks away from our celebration of Easter. And as we just sang, we know that Lent is a reminder that our Lord is faithful. Great is his faithfulness toward us. Jesus suffered and died to take away our sin, and we give thanks for the hope and the joy that comes with our celebration of Easter resurrection. Also want to welcome our 3rd through 8th grade children's choir. They're sitting up in the balcony, and they're going to be singing for us later in the service as well. The words to the song that they are singing are printed for you in the bulletin. And thank you to all of you parents for bringing them here and getting them here on time. We appreciate that. The liturgy for our worship this morning will be Divine Service Setting 1, and that begins on page 151. I invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the introit printed for you on the inside cover of your bulletin. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You destroy those who speak lies. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. During this Lenten season, we omit the Gloria and the hymn of praise, but for now, what we will do is turn to the inside of the bulletin. On the first page, you have printed there the first two stanzas of the Old Rugged Cross. We'll sing that now. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our Old Testament reading appointed for this third Sunday in Lent comes from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 33, beginning with verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses, and as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet, if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just. When it is their own way that is not just, when the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading today comes from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. We sing the Lenten verse printed on page 157.
For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated, and at this time I'd like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Nice to see you today. Thank you to those of you who are singing just now. You guys did a great job. Really appreciate you being here. Was it tough to make the decision to get up and come to church today? No? Okay. All right. Yeah. Pastor's kid. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, look, today was one of those days where you wake up and you can kind of hear the rain pouring outside. And it makes your covers feel a little bit cozier, right? This weather has been kind of weird lately around here, hasn't it? We've had all kinds of strange things going on the last couple weeks. But one of the things that happens a lot this time of year is you get these warm days, and then all of a sudden you got cold days again. And it seems like it keeps bouncing back and forth and back and forth. And one of the things that I've noticed is that when that happens, sometimes that's when people start to feel sick. And I wanted to ask you, have any of you been sick at all these last few weeks? A cold or anything like that? Anybody? So when you start to feel sick or you start to feel like you're going to get a cold, what are some things that you notice? Like, how do you know you're getting sick, Wes? Runny nose, okay? That's a good indication that you might be getting sick, Melody? Stuffy nose, yeah. What makes you feel like you're going to be sick? A cough, yeah. What do you think, Zach? Tummy might hurt. Zoe? Sneezing. A lot of sneezing, yeah. Well, what do you got? You hurt your foot? Okay, I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe you got aches and pains, right? And you know what? Sometimes when you tell mom and dad that you're not feeling good, what's one of the first things they do to check you? You'll be fine. Okay, they'll just say you'll be fine? All right, but after you get past that, what's one of the first things they do to actually check to see if you're gonna be fine or not? They might check your temperature. Right? So I actually brought this with me. This is a what? Thermometer. That's a good word. Thermometer, right? Now, you can, when you're feeling like you might be sick, you can take your temperature by placing this thermometer in your mouth. I know sometimes people have other ways of taking the temperature. Maybe you've got one of those fancy ones that scans your forehead or something like that. But this one, you put in your mouth, and does anybody know what temperature your body should be if you're healthy? Do you know? Like, okay, yeah, like 97, 90, what? 96, 98.6, that's what they always say. I know sometimes it changes over the years what they tell you is healthy, but I'm going to go ahead and just take my temperature right now, if you don't mind. See if I'm healthy. Does that sound good? This is going to be really good for children's message. All right. It beeped. Okay, what does that say, Zach? 98.2. That sounds pretty healthy, right? Okay, so now what if you took your temperature and it said like 102? Then what's the next step? Melody. You might want to just go to bed. Okay, what else can you do if you really have a fever? You might need to go to the doctor, right? Emmy.
Ice pack?
You might need an ice pack. Maybe. Cool yourself down a little bit. Wes? Okay. Eating. Okay. Maybe. Drinking fluids would be good, right? So you might go to the doctor. Maybe you'll have some medicine that you could take to help you with your fever, right? A fever, a high temperature, is a warning, right? It's a warning that you've got something going on in your body that needs to be fixed, right? And so, yeah, you might take medicine or you might go to the doctor. Maybe you get a prescription for something that will help you to get better again, right? But the temperature itself is the warning that, hey, you better do something about this, right? It's not just, oh, you'll be fine, right? But it's, hey, you've really got something going on here. Whoa, that's a warning. You better do something, right? You better rest. You better drink fluids. You better take your medicine. All of those things so that you can feel better again, right? Now, using that as an example, I wanted to talk to you about some of the warnings that the Bible gives us. We have this thing that causes us to be spiritually sick, and that's that thing we call sin. And there are all kinds of things that can happen in our lives because of that sickness that's in our bodies, right? It's not necessarily going to be a fever, although physical illnesses are because we live in a sinful and broken world. That's why people do get sick. But what I mean is, you have things that happen to you because you and I, we don't live our lives the way we're supposed to perfectly all the time. Sometimes we make bad choices, and sometimes we have to deal with the consequences of those choices, right? But what the Bible does is the Bible gives us these great warnings, like, hey, you better pay attention to what's going on in your life. Hey, watch out. You're not living the way God wants you to live. Hey, be careful or it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, when we hear that, when we read that in the Bible, or when we hear somebody say that to us, a pastor or a teacher, you know what? God also gives us medicine. And the medicine he gives us is something we call the gospel. And the gospel is the good news. What's the good news that the Bible teaches us, Lila? Yeah, what about God? What did he do for us? What's the good news? Jesus died on the cross and saved us from our sin. That's the medicine, guys. That's what's going to help us. So when the Bible gives us warnings, yeah, it sounds scary, right? Nobody likes to have a fever. Nobody likes to hear warnings from the Bible either. But God always gives us the medicine we need in his son, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks for that. So let's fold our hands and bow our heads, and we can pray and give thanks to God for that. You can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your word, for your warnings, and also for your medicine. Help us live our lives in God-pleasing ways. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming up. You can go back and sit with your families. And the rest of us will sing, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is going to be the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel chapter 33, where the Lord calls the prophet Ezekiel to be the watchman for the house of Israel, which means that Ezekiel's job is to look out and see if there's any dangers coming for God's people. But then, more importantly, Ezekiel's job is to sound the alarm then when those things happen. And of course, that's a tough job to do because not a lot of people like to hear those warnings. A lot of people don't like to hear any sort of bad news whatsoever. But we give thanks that we know that in God's word, not only does he give us those warnings in his law, but he also gives us the good news of his gospel. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, well, here we go again. It's March 23rd today, so that means that as of just a couple of days ago, it is officially spring in southern Illinois, and you know what that means. Well, actually, it could mean a number of different things depending on who you are. For those of us who are here in church, it means that we know that Easter is very soon, that we're going to be celebrating Easter in just a couple weeks like we do every year at this time of the year. But out in the rest of the world, springtime can mean other things. I know our farmers are getting ready for the planting season. It's going to be here before you know it. And those of us who are not farmers, there's other little things that we have to be prepared for, like little spring cleaning projects. And I noticed out when I was in the backyard with the kids yesterday afternoon, there's a couple spots that already need to be trimmed. And so the mowing is going to start here soon. It's all coming down upon us. But before we get to all of those kinds of things, right now, in these days, we're dealing with that kind of strange transition time between winter and spring. There's just like these couple weeks that happen every year around here, it seems, where that weather just does some strange things. Like I was talking about with the kids just a little bit ago. You got your warm days and you got your cold days. You got days like this where you wake up and it's raining. There's a little bit of thunder. You've got this new thing that we had introduced this year that I had never seen before, the mud rain, which made all of our cars look kind of gross for a while. Maybe this morning's rain took care of it if you didn't already get your car washed, right? But the thing that I would also say about this time of year is we can call it weather radio season, right? Like this is the time of year when all of a sudden that extreme weather can pop up. And usually if there's going to be a severe thunderstorm warning or a tornado watch or something, it always seems like it's going to happen in the middle of the night. It's always when you're laying in your bed and you're resting and then that weather radio goes off and you have to make that decision to get up and get out of bed and maybe go down into the basement or maybe that's your sign that it's time to go out on the porch and watch. I won't, you know, rat any of you out. I know you know who you are. Let's just put it that way. And it's a reminder also, last Tuesday, March 18th, was the 100th anniversary of the Tri-State Tornado, which was this really devastating tornado. It's to this day still the deadliest tornado in United States history. The Tri-State Tornado first touched down in southeast Missouri, and then it very quickly made its way across all of southern Illinois. It devastated cities like Murfreesboro, and there were some other smaller towns that were in its path as well. And then eventually, it did cross the Wabash River, and it was finally able to dissipate in Indiana. That's what made it the Tri-State Tornado. But along the way, it claimed over 700 lives, and it led to more than 2,000 others being injured. And so last week, there was this big commemoration of it. And I had all these news articles about the tornado that kind of popped up in my news feed. And so I read a couple of these articles. And it seemed like over and over and over again, what I was reading was that a big reason why that tornado was so deadly back then is because in those days, there was no official tornado warning system. People just did not know that that tornado was coming, which is really bad. But what makes it even worse is that it's not like we could not have had a tornado warning system. We had the technology. We had the knowledge and understanding of the atmosphere that we needed in those days to warn people that a tornado was coming. But it was the policy of our government going back all the way to the 1800s to not use the word tornado in any weather predictions. That was a policy that went back to the days when they believed that there was just no way to accurately predict that where and when a tornado would take place. And so the U.S. Weather Bureau, again, in the late 1800s, decided that it would be worse to use the word tornado and get the public to panic. And so, unfortunately, that policy, which was still in place in 1925, is the thing that put a lot of people in harm's way on March 18th of that year. Warnings are good. We need warnings. We need to hear warnings. We need to heed warnings when they come. And look, I get it. We don't always love it when the weather radio goes off and we have to make that decision. What do? Do we just lay in bed and just let the world go on around us, or do we go down into the basement? What do we really need to do? But we can't deny, even if we get annoyed by our phone buzzing or the tornado sirens going off in town or whatever it is, we can't deny that we live at a time where we have so much more of a probability of surviving a tornado or other kinds of severe weather because of that warning system that's in place compared to what was the case 100 years ago. Those warnings often, not always, but often will give people adequate time to prepare. The Bible is full of warnings. Not so much about tornadoes, although the term whirlwind is used multiple times throughout Scripture. But when the Bible gives warnings, the Bible usually talks about mainly the consequences of our sin. And this is the part of the great teaching of Scripture that we Lutherans like to call the law. What is the law? The law is God's will for all of his creation. It's the way he set things up in a particular order. It's the way he designed everything to be. The law helps us to understand what we ought to do or what we ought to avoid doing if we want to live lives that are pleasing to God, lives that are good and holy. These are good things. There's a positive side to this law of God. It's there to encourage us to do things God's way. And generally speaking, if we do things God's way, then things tend to work out better for us. That's how it's supposed to work. But there is this negative side to God's law as well, the part that we don't always love to think about, the part that we don't really want to dwell on or talk about. It's the part of it that gives us stern warnings about what could happen if we don't do things God's way. In other words, if we sin, which we all do often. The Bible, the law, is very clear that the wages of sin is death, that those who practice sinful living put themselves on a pathway toward their own destruction. And sometimes that destruction might look like this tornado that just kind of pops up in a person's life out of nowhere. And sometimes that destruction can be more like a slow and methodical descent into darkness and despair. But no matter how it happens, it's equally tragic. It's equally devastating either way. So God, out of his grace and out of his mercy, gives us his word, gives us his law, tells us to watch out. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Pay attention to the things that you're doing so that you can take shelter from all these storms that sin and Satan like to put in your life all the time. And this is where somebody like the prophet Ezekiel comes in with today's Old Testament reading. God tells his prophet Ezekiel in the very first verse of this passage, he says, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So that means that one of Ezekiel's main responsibilities as a prophet would be the guy who needs to sound the alarm whenever it's necessary. And if you know anything about Israel's history and the history of God's people and their behavior over the years, you know that it was necessary pretty much all of the time. Ezekiel is like God's trained weather spotter that he puts right there among his people. And Ezekiel looks out at the sky, and he sometimes sees that rotation, and he sees the funnel clouds forming, and he's got to make sure that that tornado siren goes off. The problem is God sent Ezekiel to a whole bunch of people who really don't care whether the siren's going off or not. People who would much rather stay in bed. People who maybe want to use that as an excuse to go out and sit on the porch. The Israelites were stubborn, to say the least. They wanted to do everything their way rather than God's way, but the problem was their way was very, very dangerous to their souls. And you can hear some of the frustration in God's voice as he's explaining to Ezekiel in this passage why his people need a watchman in the first place. Starting in verse 10, God says, "Thus you have said," he's talking to the Israelites here, "thus you have said, surely our transgressions and sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them." Okay, so you acknowledge that. Here's God's response a couple verses later. "Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Why? What it comes down to is this. God obviously does not want any of his children to be destroyed. That's why he sends Ezekiel to warn them. That's why he sends other prophets too, like Isaiah and Elijah and even Jonah, who was not sent to the Israelites but was sent to the Ninevites. God does not want any of his people to be destroyed. He wants his prophets to watch and to warn, to be that annoying weather radio and get people out of bed before it's too late. A lot of things have changed in the world since those days of Ezekiel. A lot of things are different in our day and age compared to the days when God was sending these Old Testament prophet figures to the world all the time. And yet we still have these watches and these warnings that we need to be paying attention to as well. And sometimes it might come in the form of the words that a pastor says, right? Someone who is called to preach God's law in all of its truth, and to be honest about the dangers that come from sinful living. But actually, all of us Christians should be able to see ourselves as kind of being God's trained weather spotters that he places wherever we are. And we get that sort of title and that training by nature of our baptisms. Because we who have received the word are then tasked with this ability to share that word and to spread that word. That's what we're here to do in church. That's what we're here to do in our school. That's what we're here to do in our community. We're here to speak the truth of God's word in love, which, yes, is going to include the law, but the word of God that he's given us to share is not just a word of warning. It is first and foremost a word of promise. It is good news. It is life-giving. It is life-changing news. It's the message of forgiveness of sins because of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the promise of eternal life in paradise in God's kingdom. This is what we call the gospel. And of course, we know as good Lutherans, there always needs to be a balance of law and gospel. But we always, in everything that we proclaim, we must have the gospel be the predominant message. So Ezekiel is a watchman. He's a good example of a watchman. And sometimes you think of Ezekiel as kind of like a Jim Cantore, if you happen to know that name. That's the Weather Channel guy who's always reporting on the bad weather, right? So you know if Jim Cantore shows up in your town, it's not going to be a good thing. It means something bad is about to come or something bad has already happened, right? And sometimes we see God's prophets in that way. Sometimes we see all of God's messengers in that way, prophets of doom and gloom. But, you know, just taking Ezekiel as an example, he is actually, more importantly, a prophet of hope. This same Ezekiel who is sounding the alarm as the Lord's watchman is also the Ezekiel who just a couple chapters from now is going to be preaching about the valley of dry bones that are made able to live. And a couple chapters after that, preaching about this new Jerusalem that comes down from the heavens so that God's people can live in paradise with him forever and ever. Ezekiel's message is God's message. The message of a pastor preaching the word is God's message. And God's message is a message of unfailing love. So we know that the universe is broken with sin, and we know that storms are coming no matter what we do or don't do, no matter what we say or don't say. And the closer that we get to the last day, the more we're able to look at the world and see that that's true. But God doesn't just leave us hanging in this world without any sort of comfort, without any sort of warning. Out of love, out of concern, out of his mercy, he gives us everything that we need in his word, both law and gospel, and he promises us that he will remain with us, alongside us, as we weather the storms of our lives. We know that when we go down into the basement, we're not going to be stuck in that basement forever and ever. We know that someday there will be no need for watches and for warnings ever again. We know that our Lord's return is going to usher in an eternal spring, minus all the severe weather. Just light and warmth and new life springing forth forever and ever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith with millions of Christians around the world. Today we do so using the Apostles' Creed on page 159. We confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Just a few updates for our prayer list today. Under care facilities, we are now including Ronnie Jolliffe in that list because he has now moved to the Carlisle Healthcare Center, and we're hoping that to be just a temporary move for him. Under hospitalized, you see Wallace Eichmeyer. He was hospitalized this past week, but he is now back home, and we're praying that he will continue to recover his strength. We are also lifting in prayer Richard Boehning, who had surgery on his back last week, and all went well, so we're praying for a quick recovery for him. And under ongoing health, we will remember today Henry Reeder, who has recently been diagnosed with prostate cancer, but he has a good prognosis and should be starting treatment for that very soon. So let us now go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you order and number our days according to your wisdom. Give us repentant hearts, lest we perish with this world of violence and suffering. Let us hold fast to Christ for life and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desire that they turn from evil and live. Give pastors courage to warn of sin and death. Give all Christians strength to defend that message. Turn sinners to life by the proclamation of Christ, who delivers from all unrighteousness. Bless the proclamation of the truth by all of our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, St. John's Lutheran in New Minden, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant that our homes would be havens of godly instruction and purity, and fill marriages and families with your love. Bless all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Peyton, Layla, Frank, Lynn, Heaton, Timothy, Kelton, Steve, Brandon, and Gandon. May they each give you thanks and praise for your gifts with each passing year. Lord, in your mercy. God of all, you establish justice, not through the desires of sinners, but by your law, which is for all. Enlighten the authorities of this and every nation, that they might rule justly for true good. Give protection and grace to all who serve in the armed forces of our nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, remember your people who cry to you for mercy in a world where buildings crumble and sinners work evil. Deliver those in need of healing and comfort, especially all who are on our prayer list this day, including all who are in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Ronnie, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We lift before you Wally, as he is now returned home from the hospital, that you would continue to strengthen him. We also ask that you'd be with Richard as he recovers from his recent surgery, and that you would be with all those who have ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Bob, Kurt, Don, Minette, Marvin, Amy, Francie, Yuleen, Gina, Christy, Brent, Jackie, Henry, Nancy, Elaine, Esther, Robert, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Strengthen them to look to you for help in their time of affliction. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, you have brought us into your vineyard and appointed us to bear good fruit. Receive our thanks for your patience and grant that we would show your love and grace in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. The offertory is on the bottom of page 159. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated, and our closing hymn is 861, Christ Be My Leader. Good morning. Thanks again to our children's choir. Thanks, Lori, for playing. Thanks, Mrs. Tiemann, for directing the choir. Thanks to all of our elders and ushers and everybody who helps to make sure the service can go off smoothly. Thank you to our acolytes as well. Just a couple things to pay attention to this week. Of course, the Lenten season continues, and so our midweek Lenten worship series continues. This coming Wednesday, we are going to welcome Pastor Jim Hennig from Trinity in Centralia, and his topic will be The Hand of the Lord Casts Out Demons. So that should be a really good one. And the elders are on the schedule to do the meal this week. Starting at 5:15, we're having Sloppy Joe's, and there will also be hot dogs for the kids. And so we hope you can make it this Wednesday. And I, just so you're aware, I will be in Carlisle Tuesday night. I'll be at Messiah Carlisle, and then Wednesday night, I'll be at Trinity in Hoffman. Another thing to mention for our ladies, we have an LWML District Spring Retreat coming up at St. Mark's in Steelville. That's coming up on Saturday. And so if you have signed up for that and you want to talk about carpooling, please contact Norma Tucker, and her phone number is there for you in the bulletin. And then lastly from me, we have the fact that Easter is coming, which means Easter lilies. This is the time to talk to Doris Meyer about ordering them if you'd like to for $17. We need to have those orders in place by April 6th if you want to do it that way. If you want to bring your own Easter lily, the day to do that would be Holy Saturday, which is April 19th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And this being the fourth Sunday of the month of March, Mr. Schaff has a school minute for us.
First of all, I'd like to thank the choir up there and Mrs. Tiemond for singing this morning. That was awesome. Keegan, nice job there acolyting. So some of you may wonder, what in the world is this? Somebody said, oh, you have a walker? No, that's great. Well, it's not a walker. This is part of a desk. So the desks at school lately have been a little bit rough. So they've been breaking. And Keegan, you may know the story behind this one, do you? Okay, you're nodding. So anyway, we ordered and purchased 14 brand new desks. And our 7th and 8th graders, thanks, guys, put them all together one afternoon, so I appreciate that. And these desks, the new ones we got, were $250 a piece. I mean, times have changed. So we want to thank the PTL and the Caston Fund who helped fund those. And a lot of the money came from the Fund a Project from our wine and beer auction. So thank you to all the people who donated to that and supported that, sponsored a table, and then donated the things to sell. So that was a blessing. In fact, we set a record. We made over $29,000. So praise the Lord. So that is pretty cool. In other news at school, we are waiting for the ground to dry, and it was really close. And we're going to be putting up a new section of the playground for the younger students and moving the Gaga Ball pit. So we're going to wait a little bit longer for that. Our students this past week participated in the Fine Arts Night in Nashville. I don't know if you knew this or not, but we sent art projects over there, and they were hanging up in Nashville at the high school. We also, on Wednesday, our students have an opportunity to take band lessons in Nashville. So seniors at Nashville High School, they spend their Wednesday afternoons, and they give music lessons. So we've had some students taking advantage of that over the past last year and this year, and they performed also last week for their fine arts evening. In sports news, our volleyball season has ended. Looking forward to next year. Golf is in full swing. We have 12 students, and Kurt Grody is our coach, so we appreciate that. And they practice a lot at Greenview Golf Course. Our Scholar Bowl, we have a couple meets coming up for that. Track season begins tomorrow. So, and it's going to just be here at Hoyleton, but then a lot of our practices will be at the Nashville High School track. And re-enrollment's begun for next year. So thank you guys very much for your prayers, your concerns, and all your love. We definitely appreciate it. And the school year is going really quickly. We're 2 weeks into our fourth quarter. So, Lord's blessings on your day. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Schaff. Any other announcements today? Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, so if you didn't hear that, there's no Irvington food pantry today because the power's out in Irvington. So we won't be on the schedule again until April. Thank you. Anything else today? All right. Well, have a blessed week in the Lord. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.